You're listening to Houston Indie Media on 90.1 KPFT.
Because a white man can't even go outside to get a disease. We're talking about how, like, white people can't even go outside into the sunlight without contracting a disease. Like the skin cancer. They got their SP5 3000s. You can't even go out into the sunlight. What good is that? Well, they stay on their computer shorts. On their computers. All tan everything. All brown man, sound man. Sit down man, sit down man. All brown skin.
Welcome to Houston Indie Media Radio. We have an absolutely packed show for you tonight. Our three guests are going to tell us about three separate events happening tomorrow right here in Houston. First, we're going to talk with Ashton Woods, organizer with Black Lives Matter Houston, about the March for Human Rights. Next, we will hear from Dr. David Michael Smith, member of the Houston Socialist Movement, about the racist State Bill 4 that passed earlier this month and the rally to stand against SB 4 happening tomorrow. And last but not least, we'll be talking to Casey Waldner, who's been organizing this year's countercrawl. You've probably heard about it on KPFT already, but we're going to tell you some new stuff that I'm sure you don't know about yet. So let's just jump right in. Here's Ashton Woods of Black Lives Matter Houston.
Hi, my name is Ashton P. Woods from Black Lives Matter Houston.
March for Human Rights. Where did that come from? Is a national march?
March for Human Rights is the idea that I came up with for the chapter to have because there's so many movements going on. I wanted to invite different groups and organizations and people from different walks of life as a co-founder of BLM Houston to join us in a march. It's called actually the March for Humanity, so to speak. With the centering of Black lives, because everything that's happened this year under the Trump administration, under the Texas legislature, under anybody who has any control and power, we know that we've been marginalized in a way that we that is more obvious, more succinct, and less subtle than previous years. And Black people are part of every one of those communities, the Muslim community, the LGBTQ community, people with disabilities, all of the things that these Republicans, some Democrats, and people in power have mocked and are actively trying to attack via legislation. This is an opportunity for us to come together and say them, and for BLM Houston to set a standard of how allies can be allies as opposed to taking over a movement.
So I love and appreciate the focus on people of color, and of course it's necessary. And it's different in every community, and Houston is huge, but what is your take on Black and brown solidarity currently in Houston?
I think Black and brown solidarity in Houston is extremely important. I think that right now we've seen that that's not really something that's missing, but the emphasis on, it's not an emphasis on people of color, it's an emphasis on Black lives in conjunction with allyship to people of color who are not Black and all other groups as well, to show that when we play a role in your movement, we're there to support you and we expect the same from you, recognizing the privileges, whatever they may be. And I think that Black and brown people have done a good job of coming together in general.
And what about in terms of white solidarity with people of color?
So far, that has been pretty good, but it needs work.
Yeah.
It needs a lot of work.
So when and where is the rally? Can you give us information about that, please?
So the March for Human Rights starts at Discovery Green. That's where we will be meeting at. We'll be staging at Discovery Green in the northeast corner at McKinney and Avenue de las Americas, right across from the new Marriott Marquis. And then we will be marching up Walker to City Hall. And the rally will take place at City Hall.
Where can people go to get more information?
Black Lives Matter Houston's Facebook page.
So do you have any new resources for people of color that you want to share with our listeners that you may not have told us about before, or maybe tell us some helpful ones again?
Well, right now we're actually building out some things, and some things are going to actually be revealed at the rally, believe it or not. So I would expect those listening and including yourself to be there for the surprise.
Do you want to share your contact info with listeners?
You can contact me directly at AshtonPWoods@gmail.com. That's AshtonPWoods@gmail.com or AshtonPWoods on Facebook and Twitter.
Anything else that you want to add or say to our listeners, Ashton?
Be there or be square. Come to have fun. Bring your children. Come hydrated. Have water. If you bring signs, do not have any sticks on them. And we will be taken to the sidewalks. We will not be taking the streets. Just come and learn some new things and make some new friends.
Okay. Can you please start by introducing yourself, David?
My name is Dr. David Michael Smith, and I'm a member of the Houston Socialist Movement.
And you're helping to organize this rally on Saturday that is against SB 4.
Absolutely. Senate Bill 4 has got to be one of the worst pieces of legislation in recent Texas history. So there are a number of groups together to hold the action at the HPD headquarters. You have the Brown Berets of Tej Aslan, you've got Freedom Road Socialist Organization, Latinos Inmigrantes Triunfadores, Marina, Party for Socialism and Liberation, and us. And we should have a pretty good turnout tomorrow.
Tell us some of the details of SB 4.
It's really just outrageous. I mean, it's hard to believe how bad it can be. But, you know, in Texas, the state legislature and the governor, they're pretty experienced in racist and anti-worker laws. So this bill includes language that sort of like says, show me your papers. What that basically means is that state and local law enforcement officers, even university and college police, will be able to ask about the immigration status of people they detain. So they don't even have to arrest you. They can stop you for a traffic ticket and ask about your immigration status. This bill also requires state and local law enforcement to comply with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement civil detainers, which are basically requests to hold individuals until ICE can pick them up. And there have been several federal courts around the country that have found that if you don't have a warrant, honoring those ICE detainers violates people's Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights. But that didn't matter to the state legislature. Senate Bill 4 also prohibits city, county, university, and college officials from adopting any kind of policy or engaging any kind of practice that would, quote, materially limit, end of quote, the authorities' investigation of someone's immigration status or reporting that information to other authorities or enforcing federal immigration law. And then finally, as if that's not bad enough, Senate Bill 4 also allows state officials to remove from office any elected or appointed official who prohibits or, again, materially limits enforcement or cooperation with federal immigration officials. And so if you have an uncooperative sheriff or police chief or constable or corrections officer or jail administrator, they could conceivably face Class A misdemeanor charges at fines of $1,000 to $1,500 for the first violation and $25,000 to $25,500 for each subsequent violation. So this bill is chock full of horrific stuff for immigrants, but also for people who are citizens or have legal status who can be racially profiled as well. It's just a horrific bill.
So Houston never was a sanctuary city because the mayor...
No, not really. The city leaders in Houston have always been reticent or frankly refused to use that language. Even Mayor Turner thinks it's okay to call us a welcoming city, but not a sanctuary city. There's nothing wrong and there's everything right with being a sanctuary city. You know, it was relatively more, how shall we say, friendly or welcoming, to borrow Mayor Turner's terms, in the sense that the HPD, you know, for years now, hasn't rousted people simply about their immigration status, or at least that's the policy. In real life, you know, it's different. But, you know, calling us a sanctuary city for that reason, that's really Republican rhetoric more than anything else. Yet it's revealing that the Democrats, too, have shied away from that term. And even now, although so many people in greater Houston are urging the city to sue the state government over this bill, you don't have that decision yet. You know, down in South Texas, you've got this tiny village called El Cenizo. It's in Webb County. They and Maverick County and LULAC have the first lawsuit in against Senate Bill 4. The El Paso County Commissioner's Court has decided to sue. And then just yesterday, the Austin City Council decided to sue. So I'm asking myself, like lots of other people, it's like, so why don't we do that in Houston? And it's all about bad politics. I mean, I remain hopeful that at some point the Houston City leaders will see their way clear to suing to protect people's rights and to make us genuinely more of a welcoming or sanctuary city. But we'll have to see how that shakes out. And in the meantime, even if they were to sue, I think working class people and oppressed people are right to demand that the HPD not enforce Senate Bill 4. This is anti-worker, it's racist, it just shouldn't be enforced. In the past, HPD has not, by policy, they've not been permitted for years now to inquire about people's immigration status. And that's going to change if the HPD starts enforcing this law. And that's one reason we're doing the demonstration tomorrow. You know, many of us believe that HPD, which has already got its hands dripping in blood from generations of killing and maiming and injuring innocent people, they should not be enforcing this law, because you know it's going to lead to more deportations, more separation of families, but also more racial profiling, more violation of people's legal rights, and a lot of pain and misery.
Even before SB 4 passed, Houston already complied with ICE
detainers. Yeah, it's a problem because, you know, a lot of us were very happy when Harris County Sheriff Ed Gonzalez, a relatively new sheriff, said he didn't want to cooperate with the program 287G anymore. And so while people were applauding that, sometimes they didn't pay attention to the rest of what he said, which was that they would continue to honor these detainers. I mean, they're just asking for lawsuits and, you know, more pain and suffering among masses of people, but lawsuits and lawsuits. There have been a number of federal courts have said, if you don't have a warrant, you can't hold that individual. And yet Gonzalez wouldn't go the extra mile there. So it's been a problem. It hasn't been perfect in Houston to start with. And now, thanks to Governor Abbott and the Republican majority in the state legislature, it looks like it's going to get a whole lot worse.
Can you tell us what's going on in Austin?
The good news is that yesterday, I believe it was by a 10-1 vote, the city council authorized preparation for a lawsuit against Senate Bill 4. You know, it's good that you can have that kind of lawsuit. I'd be curious to see whether people in the streets are demanding that in the meantime, the law not be enforced by their local police authorities. But I'm glad to see people in Austin pressuring their elected officials to sue. But I'd say we need to use all the avenues, all the means at our disposal. You know, we need to be able to sue, but we also need to come out and take direct action in the streets and let the politicians and the police know what we feel about this.
So you've already touched on this a lot, but do you have anything to add as far as what actions are being taken to reverse or counter SB4?
Well, there are definitely protests around the state that have been shaping up. It's a good thing to see, whether it's in Austin or El Paso or El Cenizo, for us to get out of the streets. We need more people in the streets. And frankly, we need to move toward a situation in Houston where we can stop business as usual and actually, you know, put some sand in the machine, to borrow a phrase, because we do not need, we absolutely must stop enforcement of Senate Bill 4. So the action tomorrow at 3 p.m. at HPD headquarters is just one of many actions that are going to be occurring. And we look forward to working with other organizations and other constituencies, get all of us together and send as powerful a message as we can through direct action in the streets.
Where can people get more information, and can you repeat the rally information one more time, please?
The demonstration against HPD enforcement of Senate Bill 4 will be held tomorrow, appropriately enough, in front of the Houston Police Department headquarters. Street address is 1200 Travis, and it's tomorrow, Saturday, May 20th, 3 to 5 p.m. And if folks would like more information, they're welcome to call 832-692-2306, and we'll be glad to speak with you for sure.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add that you want to tell our listeners?
We just want to encourage folks to come out. We're really looking to build as broad a group of people, not just at tomorrow's demonstration, but in the actions coming up. So this, you know, if you're opposed to Senate Bill 4 and you're asking what can you do, every individual makes a difference. Every additional person who comes into the streets to say, no more, we can't stand this, we won't abide this, makes a positive contribution. So for listeners, for supporters of your program, for supporters of KPFT, if you're free tomorrow afternoon between 3 and 5, I'd say, come on down and help make a difference.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Can you start by introducing yourself?
Yes. Hello. My name is Casey Waldner. You know, I've done a lot of art projects in Houston. I'm one of the co-founders of the Houston Roller Derby. I've been in many bands throughout the years in the music scene. I'm the manager of Sugar Hill Recording Studios. And, yeah. Just involved in all different kinds of aspects of the Houston community.
So how'd you get involved with Countercrawl?
Well, it's really funny. My neighbors, Rain Dog and Caitlin Scott, are performance artists, and we live in the same duplex. Well, we share a duplex, right? And so they got me into the performance art scene, the experimental action, where I actually did my first performance art piece. And then after that, shortly after that, Rain Dog was telling me about Countercrawl, how he felt like there was a need for another Countercrawl. And I thought, well, that's awesome, but what is this Countercrawl? So I came to the first meeting, and basically we set an intention about what the crawl was going to be about. And at this time, I still was kind of confused as to what we were doing. And then it slowly started to get revealed that it was a crawl that was called Countercrawl because it was against kind of the nature of, you know, capitalism, consumerism, as far as money is involved. There was no donors. Nobody was getting paid to do everything. Everybody was giving. They were doing it to increase, you know, the interaction between artists and the city, to have that connectivity, and then also to give visibility to everybody, too, as far as just all of, like, the wide demographic that Houston serves. And so they told me that it was a 20-mile bike ride with different stops and that there were performances at each stop. But you're going as a group from one stop to the next stop to the next stop until you finally hit the last stop. So it's kind of a traveling village of positive vibes and positive intentions and everybody helping everybody out and supporting each other, and then people performing too along the way. Like even during the bike ride, not just exclusively to the locations that were set out on the route.
Can you tell us about the performance on the bike ride, or is that a secret?
Well, the funny thing is that there's a certain level of spontaneity in the Countercrawl. So that's kind of one of the things, too. And then my friend, Emily Ayer, she's an opera singer, and we got together and wrote like a song, like a chant, and decided to sing that as well. So we actually printed out lyrics to give everybody so we can sing this positive song chant or anthem, if you will, to, you know, keep everybody involved in an activity, doing something together, keeping it positive.
So Countercrawl is non-hierarchical and non-capitalist. Can you
Correct.
Tell us a little bit about the aspect of non-capitalism within the Countercrawl community?
The whole idea was to do something where we're all giving, but no money is involved. Some of us are donating money for snacks and water and stuff like that to give us sustenance and hydration throughout the crawl. But the idea is that artists performing for other artists in the community and socializing and getting to bond and, again, reestablish that sense of community without money. Because so often when you have events, it's so centered around the money. I work in the music industry, so all the time it's about, you know, the budget that you have to record or what label. If anything, we've like eradicated that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, at this point it's just donations for food and water for the people who are going on the bike ride or who are joining the crawl.
So talk about the organizing for a minute. Countercrawl is non-hierarchical and organizes on a consensus basis. I'm sure most of our listeners understand what that means. And if you didn't know already, the Houston Indie Media Collective works the same way. We're also non-hierarchical, and we also make decisions by consensus. But for those who may not know, can you explain what is non-hierarchical decision-making and what is consensus-based decision-making?
Well, non-hierarchical decision-making, to me, means that there's no kind of corporate scheme or, like, division of power. Nobody has more power than another person. There's not, like, a president, a CEO, a manager, you know, an assistant to the manager, an assistant manager. Everybody has an equal voice, which to me, that is the epitome of a non-hierarchical system, is everybody having an equal voice. Being in that group, and again, having that equal platform and taking the time to hold space for everybody involved is so refreshing.
Can you talk about the role of artists as activists?
Oh my gosh. Hold on. Let me just take a sip of coffee. All right. Artists as activists. Well, it's something that I believe in because, you know, I consider myself an artist. I do a little bit of everything. I do mixed media art. I'm a musician. I'm a newly found performance artist. I love any kind of form of expression because I believe that it's important to express yourself and your feelings because as human beings, we have feelings. And I believe that activism and being a human and a feeling human, you know, are contingent because activism to me is really kind of listening to your heart and your mind and your knowledge of knowing what you feel is right on a human level and then doing something about it. It's to me the ultimate form of expression. It's by going out there and practicing your beliefs. When I feel like our society keeps us in fear and keeps us very stifled from doing that, which in essence keeps us very inhibited from connecting to people. And so being an artist and an activist, I think is a wonderful thing because you're basically supporting each other's expression and each other's humanity and each other's existence. And you're doing it in a way that is creative and accessible for everyone on an individual and on a communal basis.
So this countercall is called the Living Doors. What is that all about?
Yes. So it's kind of an interesting story. I had this vision that I was supposed to do an art piece on seven doors. Seven's a very mystical number, and I like to study a lot of metaphysical and mystical things. And I remember thinking to myself, well, that's good, great, and grand, but how am I going to find seven doors? Well, I was walking my dog one day, and lo and behold, the universe, like, set down nine doors outside of a dumpster at this church that's right by my house. So at that point, it was kind of one of those miracle moments where I was like, thank you, universe. Oh, my gosh, that was a quick manifestation. And I put a post on Facebook, like, hey, friends, anybody have a truck? I need to get these doors to my house immediately because I kind of had a vision that I was going to do a project. And the universe just gave them to me. It's a big deal. So my friends got a truck, and they loaded up the doors. And within an hour, I didn't have seven but nine doors that were going to be discarded into the trash in my yard. And at that point, I thought to myself, this is great. I have these doors. All right, let's start this art project. But I couldn't for the life of me decide on what I wanted to do with the doors. And then my neighbor invited me to the countercrawl meeting. We were talking about each stop. I had the idea that each stop should have a door to kind of, you know, a commemorative door of the crawl. And it would also be our gift to leave to each stop. It's kind of like we made our positive mark. And like the intention of the crawl too is to leave each stop with more than what they had before we got there. Whether that be positive energy, whether that be art, we're going to be planting gardens at some of the spots. Because my whole thing is about raising like the positive vibration in each place. And I thought it would be cool if we could give them some kind of memento. And the doors were perfect. But I bet my, granddaddy's glass eyes that after, you know, the counter crawl, that everybody is going to be transformed somehow because they would put their energy and their heart into it.
When and where is the crawl, and where can folks get more information?
Well, you can look up Counter Crawl and get the Facebook invite. We're going to be meeting at La Playa at noon this Saturday. That's the first stop. And then from the Facebook invite, there's also a Facebook group called Counter Crawlers. You can find out this information. It's going on from noon up until 8 o'clock. We're going from La Playa to Solidarity House, to a secret spot, to Dan Electro's, and then to the Foundry. That is the route. And some of us are going to be on skates, some of us are going to be on bikes, but we're all going to be traveling to each spot together. And then at each spot, we are going to have about an hour to an hour and a half of performances. Probably an hour of performances and like a 15-minute, you know, window to load in and to load out.
Is there anything else that you want to say to our listeners?
Yes. Houston, we're awesome, and we're full of love and potential and creativity, and don't be afraid to use your voice and to go out and do something for somebody else because you feel like it's a good thing to do, because giving is where it's at. And I've never been involved in anything as giving as this event, because like I said, there's no money involved. So maybe it'll also inspire other people to do things where there's no money involved, where you're just giving your time, helping somebody out, fixing someone's bike, donating a piece of art, doing a performance, helping somebody clean their space, whatever it could be. Just give and create and keep that energy flowing, because Houston has so much potential and so much hidden talent that I'm so stoked to be on this crawl and to meet all of these fabulous, wonderful people that are going to join us and just make it an awesome affair. And everybody is invited, Houston. Come on out, Houston. Where are you at? Come hang out with us. We're the artist activists.
If you want to make it to both the anti-SB4 rally and the Black Lives Matter Houston rally tomorrow, you will definitely be able to. Meet up with us to stand against racist State Bill 4 at the HPD headquarters at 1200 Travis at 3 p.m. And at 5 p.m., we will march to Discovery Green to join up with the Black Lives Matter Houston March for Human Rights at 1500 McKinney. Shout out to Courtney and Rachel and all the other members of the Houston Indie Media Collective, past and present. Thank you once again to our three lovely guests tonight, Ashton P. Woods, Dr. David Michael Smith, and Casey Waldner. We're going to lead you out with that song Casey mentioned earlier. This is V signing off and reminding everyone out there, don't hate the media, be the media. Peace.
Come from a land of living doors. We spread love and kindness through the universe. Have no fear. Love is here. Forgive your heart and meditate. Have no fear. Love is here. Demand the truth. Let go of your ego. That's it. Let it go. Let go of your ego. That's it. Let it go. Let go of your ego. Your ego. We come from a land of living doors. We spread love and kindness. Let go of your ego. That's it. Let it go. Let go of your ego. That's it. Let it go. let it go.